So last week we were looking at Ruth and her courage to stand alone. And so we're moving on in our series on faith of our mothers. And we're looking at Ruth for the entirety of the remaining of the series. It's got four chapters. So last week we started Ruth chapter 1. This week's Ruth chapter 2. And by deductive reasoning, we will be at what next week? Ruth chapter 3, all right. And then we'll wrap it up with Ruth chapter 4, and we'll have communion that Sunday. I believe that's September the 4th. So last week we talked about Ruth's courage to stand alone, that she had married into a family that had a lot of death in it. Her father-in-law died, her brother-in-law died, and ultimately her husband died. And so last week we talked about her courage to stand alone. This week, we're looking at her sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. That's today's kind of topic. That's what we're thinking about today. We love sacrificial love stories. Think about those stories that we know of where one gives up everything on behalf of all or on the behalf of somebody else. That's sacrificial love. And despite all the violence, essentially, that's what superhero movies are, right? One person or a group of people on, you know, when they all get together in the massive movie, but one person will sacrifice himself for the good of all around them. And certainly Jesus is the superhero that we have. He gave up all for everyone so that we could all have relationship with God. Ruth displays this kind of sacrificial love as well. So by way of reminder, Ruth was married to Naomi's son, Naomi's husband. Both sons died, leaving Naomi, Ruth, and the other son's wife to fend for themselves. In that culture, that was pretty much death. Like that, there was nothing they could do on their own. Naomi suggests, even forces the two daughter-in-laws to go back to their home country. Just go back, start all over. Just cut your ties, cut your losses, you know, just start all over. One goes, Ruth stays. And here's what Ruth says. Ruth replies, "Don't urge me to leave." This is chapter 1, by the way, verse 16. "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." So Ruth, when she married Naomi's son, committed not only to her husband, but to the family. She was all in for the family. She was committed to Naomi's family. And when Naomi's family was gone, Ruth stayed. She displayed sacrificial love for the sake of her mother-in-law. Now that is commitment. Mother-in-law. How many of y'all doing that for your mother-in-law? If she's watching, I would. There would be an easier route for her to just go back home and find another way, find another husband, start all over. But she decided to sacrifice what would have been the easier route to go home. And her sacrificial love of Naomi and Naomi's family in her presence meant that Ruth had to do certain things. Her loyalty, her state of being, the inward love that she had led her to do certain activities and behaviors. In Ruth's case, it meant that she was going to have to do a lot of backbreaking work, really hard work in a dangerous area in order to feed the two of them. So we're going to talk about that story. It's Ruth chapter 2. In those days, there were men who harvested the fields, and they would leave some of the portions of the field behind so that those who had no property, no fields of their own, could come in and glean behind them. That's, if you've ever heard the word glean or gleaners, it's come from that term. There was reapers who would reap the harvest, and then they would leave a little bit behind, and the gleaners would come in and clean up all that was left behind, and they could live off of that or sell that on their own. Ruth would be a gleaner. She's going to come in behind the reapers, and she was going to work in the hot sun and pick up whatever she could find in order to feed her family. Here's Ruth chapter 2. I would suggest this, if I had a title headline of this passage, this portion, I'd say this: sacrifice often means difficulty. Sacrifice often, not always, often means you're going to struggle. There's going to be difficulty. Here's Ruth 2, chapter 2, verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." So she volunteered to do this difficult thing. "Let me go out to the fields. I'll see what I can find if somebody will let me do it in their field." This would have been really hard and difficult work for her to do. Maybe even humiliating work. Back in their other country, maybe she had money. I don't know. But now she's like basically subsistence living. She's scraping around to find whatever she could. By the way, I grow a pretty decent garden. And if anybody needs tomatoes and green beans, you're welcome to come and glean all you want. I'm halfway serious. Like, it's there. I'm not picking it for you. But it's left there. Ruth volunteers for this role to go get whatever fruit, whatever harvest she could find. Because of this loyalty that she had to Naomi, it sets her on a course for God's redemptive work in her life and in the life of Naomi. Not to mention it was dangerous work. It's dangerous because maybe there were predators involved. Maybe there's animals, wild animals out there. The scripture doesn't mention that. But what the scripture does mention, we'll read in a second here, is there are predatory human males that she needed to be worried about and concerned about because they were going to mess around with the women who were out there. We see that she's going to get some protection from that. Ruth volunteers for all of this. She knows it's dangerous. She knows it's backbreaking hard work. Sacrificial love often means difficulty. If it was easy, then it wouldn't really be a sacrifice. Sacrificial love may call you to do something that you don't even want to do. I don't want to go out to the fields under the hot sun and do all that. Sacrificial love may cause you backbreaking labor. Sacrificial love may place you in a place of danger. Sacrificial love may place you among strangers and at the mercy of strangers. Ruth's going in going, "Let me see if I can find favor in the eyes of somebody that will let me glean in his field." But without this sacrificial love, Ruth would not be in the place where she was. So let's read on. Verse 2. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor." And Naomi said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to the young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" He notices somebody he doesn't recognize. And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she's continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Like, she's working hard out there, and she's been at it pretty much all day, except for a short rest. She was noticed. People saw her, and most importantly, Boaz saw her and inquired about her. He noticed somebody different. He's like, "Who is that out there? I want to know who's working in my field." As it turns out, the field she works in belongs to Boaz, happens to be the nearest kin to Ruth's deceased husband. He just happened to go to Boaz's field. If she hadn't volunteered to go out and do this backbreaking, dangerous, sacrificial love thing that she's doing, she would have never gone to the field where Boaz owned. She's working very hard. It was noticeable she worked so hard. She only had a short rest. Her sacrificial love for Naomi and family led her to go do a difficult thing, but it placed her in a position for reward. How many times have we said in this series of all the women we've talked about, if she hadn't done this difficult sacrificial thing, something that nobody else would do, that very act put them in the position of being exactly in the right place at the right time for God to do the amazing redemptive work in their life. We've said that over and over and over in this series with every woman that we've talked about. Here's verse 8. Boaz says to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men to not touch you?" There it is right there. You can understand what's not being said by what's being said. He put his protection over her from the young men. He's keeping her safe from predators. You know, see what's happening there? You see the threat that this is to her life. She's put herself in this position. And then he goes on and he says, "And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to them, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I'm a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to take refuge." Sometimes sacrifice has rewards. It says, "May the reward be given to you." For the first time in the story, Ruth is not like on the outside looking in. She's finally on the in. She has somebody that's looking out for her. She's no longer standing alone, but there's somebody there, Boaz, taking measures to provide for her protection, to provide for her some sustenance, food, and drink. She's on the inside now. And guess what? He's heard all about what she's been up to. He knows all about it. It's all been told to me fully, how you left your family, you left your country, you followed Naomi here, even though you got no husband with you. He knows what she's up to. And now he's saying, "May your sacrificial love be fully rewarded. You've now been put in a position for reward." Boaz says, "A full reward be given you by the Lord." I think it's safe to say that sacrificial love will always be rewarded by the Lord, and sometimes by humans. Not always by humans. They don't always notice. But the Lord will use humans to bless you, to reward you. The Lord will always bless you in some sort of way upon your sacrificial love. Humans, not so much. Jesus taught a principle that if we're faithful in the little things, the sacrifice of the little thing, we will be rewarded with greater things. Ruth did the small things right. She went out to the fields and she got grain. That's a lowly task. It's hard work in the hot sun. There's a threat of danger all around, but she went out and she did the small thing right. And see how Ruth responds. Verse 13, "Then she said, 'I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I'm not one of your servants.'" A lot of people want to skip the hard part and go straight to the reward. Let's get to the reward without the sacrifice. Let's get the blessing without the obedience. Let's get the enjoyment without going through the refinement. Let's get the gym body without going to the gym. Let's get to the performance without having to practice. Let's get to the internet fame without having any substance whatsoever. The sacrifices and experiences of life are what take you from the point of this sacrifice to the point of reward and blessing. You can enjoy this over here, after you've experienced this over here. Ruth found favor because she's done the work and she did the sacrifice. And there's reward out you when you're faithful in the small things, those difficult things, the sacrificial things. And at the mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel into the wine." So she sat beside the reapers and passed her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied. Could have been the first time in this whole story that she ate until she was full. And she had some left over, it says. And when she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." He's like, just let her have whatever she wants. Just kind of give it away to her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned. It's like, I don't know if you know this stuff, but like it's barley, so it's like little heads of seeds on top. You have to beat them against like stone, and then the seeds fall out, and you get rid of the chaff, is what the rest of it's called, and you keep the seeds. So she kept those barley seeds, and she came up with an ephah, however much that is, and she took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over from being satisfied from dinner. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? Where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." She had no idea. Ruth was like, "It's just some guy named Boaz." Here's Ruth has no clue who the man is relationally to her. She just goes about her business with her encounter with him. She returns home. Naomi asks, "Who is it?" And here's Naomi's response. It's great. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close to my young men until they've finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. So she's out there for weeks working with these people. And Naomi is amazed by this non-coincidence. This is not a coincidence that Ruth landed in Boaz's field. She's excited because she knows who he is. She knows what that means for them. And she knows that Boaz is a kind and generous man. Naomi gets it. She knows she's not able to do these things herself. Ruth is able to do them. Ruth was the one with the sacrificial love to give of herself her whole life to Naomi. Ruth was the one to volunteer to go to a foreign land with a foreign people, do backbreaking labor, and give of herself for the good of her family. All right? I want to wrap up this portion because Reagan's going to come up. And as she does, I want us to put our minds just for a second, think about one other person who gave sacrificial love for us. John 15:13 describes it. "Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends." Sacrificial love Jesus had for us in giving us his whole life for the sake of all who would believe in him. But I truly believe he would have done it even if only one person was to believe in him. That's the kind of sacrificial love that God has for you, that Jesus has for you. It's a model for us. It's hard to do sacrificial love, isn't it, Reagan? Reagan, come on up. You're going to tell us about experiences of life where she's had to give some sacrifice. Would you do this? I think Reagan's nervous. So would you pray with me so we can help her have a calm heart? God, thank you for Reagan and her, I'm going to say volunteering, but I asked her. Thank you for her saying yes to being asked to do this. We ask, Lord, that you calm her heart and help her to give us what you want us to hear through her words. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed for us that sacrificial love that we can not only experience but emulate as a model. Be with us in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, hold that right up.
Okay. Good morning, church, family. If I happen to sit down at any point, it's because my legs are getting weak. Like when I was worshiping, I just had like a very overwhelming presence of the Lord and just feel so honored and blessed today. You know, and things aren't a coincidence that we're in Ruth right now and that we got to speak on sacrificial love this morning because, you know, this room is actually filled with some of the most beautiful women that have been a part in my life that have given me sacrificial love. You know, that unconditional love, that love that really doesn't make sense. And at first I had kind of had a little bit of a hard time relating with Ruth because, you know, the story doesn't tell us that she had kids. She wasn't really making this move, you know, because the grandmother had like ties to anybody. She didn't have the husband anymore. And so I'm like, you know, I don't have a mother-in-law. I don't have kids and things like that. But the very thing I was finding like differences in with Ruth in the beginning, I actually found to be the similarities because, you know, I'm recovering from addiction and a lot of different things. God's brought me out of addiction that has affected so many areas of my life, whether it be with drugs, food, you know, people, sex, everything, you know, that there is out there that you can get mixed up with and everything. And like, I didn't have a reason really to stop. I didn't really have a kid. I didn't have a mother-in-law, you know. I didn't really think I had a reason to ever stop. And so the love that was given to me by all the people in my life and, you know, just the star players in the room right now, you know, that's what did it. And I started relating with Naomi as well, you know, because she looked at these two daughters and she also felt like they didn't have a place with her, like go start over, you know, and move forward. And Ruth was the one that understood that, no, that was going back for her. And she continued to move forward, you know, with the person, with the family, and with the love that God had given her from the beginning. And that's really what I've got to watch happen in my life. You know, when I realized that the love of God didn't make sense and it kept showing up in my life and it was there for me, you know, and where Naomi recognizes as Mara, like I realized that my family had felt like this for so long, you know, and they were just mourning and grieving over things that I was putting them through. You know, and so the restoration in this story too just hit me, and it's so beautiful to get to see where my family is now, and just all the beautiful things that, you know, God has led me to in my life up until this point, you know, whether it be in my career. I believe that Ruth was going through things where she was doing unto God, you know. It didn't really make sense, like, to society. You know, it would have made sense to go back home and go to her family and things like that, but, like, she stood alone, like in chapter one, and you know, just was able to reap the benefits after doing all these things that built her character, you know, this lowly place that she went through. And she got to continue doing the things to serve unto the Lord, whether it be to a person. For me, it changes constantly. For me, God leads me in different places constantly, but, you know, it may be, you know, being a daughter one day and being a sister the next and being a friend another. And the meaning of Ruth means so many things. It's, you know, companion and friend. And this is huge in this story because that's what has really brought me out of everything and where I've been, you know, is the friendship between the relationship of everybody, no matter whether it's, you know, a husband and wife or a mother and daughter or, you know, two friends. That's really what, you know, sitting with somebody in those lowly places and doing the things that we don't always have to do, you know, it's just a beautiful thing, because that is literally what I've got to watch come to life in my life. And God moved me from one place to another. And you know, and it seems like you're gleaning sometimes. And sometimes you have to glean. But the character that it builds, you know, he built a character in Ruth that was unshakable, you know, that was built for something else. And she got to see that when the time was right, you know, but she didn't have a reason in the moment. She was just doing it to provide, to be, she was a friend, a daughter-in-law, a provider, you know, a companion, and really just the level of commitment, you know, to somebody that she didn't have to be committed to, is something that, you know, we all get to experience every day, whether it be at work or whether it be to your kids, you know, and things like that. And I think that is the most fulfilling part of everything. Because getting to know yourself and being okay with yourself is the most important thing, you know, next to God. Being right with God and being right with yourself is the most important thing. And the character in this is just, it's so much and it's so overwhelming. I read the book and I didn't really know how to wrap this up after doing this morning, you know, just because it's, I completely felt the spirit of her on me. So with that, I give all the thanks and glory and everything to God and my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you all for being here this morning.
Thank you, Reagan. You know, one of the things I was thinking about while Reagan was talking, I was paying attention, but it's just that the whole act of redemption from that sacrificial love, that they were given an opportunity for obedience and sacrifice, but that resulted in the blessed, it's going to next week, spoiler alert. If you've ever read Ruth, you already know how it turns out. But that redemption story is mirrored in the image of Jesus Christ. Because of his sacrificial love for us, we too are redeemed. So all the terrible things that have happened to us, all the things that we've done, the sacrificial love that he has for you, and for you, and you, and you, all of you, all of, and me too, redeems us back into relationship with the Father. All of that seen in the image of Boaz and Ruth restoring an entire family. And we're going to see in chapter 4 that because of that, Jesus comes about. Ruth is in the family line for Jesus. Daggone, I've spoiled my next two Sundays. I hope you'll come back. Let's worship together.